Before we begin, let's take a moment to put our hands together to worship the Exalted One, the Unparalleled One, the Tathagata, the Supreme Buddha, by chanting Namaskar three times all together with me. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. With the permission from the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Mahasangha, let us begin. These days have been really hot, isn't it? Sri Lanka has been facing a very, I think it's a heat wave, or some sort of reason that's been extremely hot. But luckily it rained yesterday, which hopefully means it'll be a bit cooler today. But I was also told that in the future, in the next, I think, until the middle of next month, we'll be facing extreme temperatures. So just a fair warning to all of us, you know, make sure you stay hydrated, stay out of the sun. Because, you know, the environment changes. And, you know, when it's hot, it feels really uncomfortable because it's really hot and, you know, you're sweating, and especially under the hut where, you know, it's fully AC'd, it is extremely uncomfortable. But just yesterday, I was going past one of our buildings and one of our 18 minus buildings. And in front of, on the path, there was a potted plant. The leaves have completely, what's the word? Not even wilted, like burnt. But I didn't hear it complain. I didn't hear the potted plant complain. But the people inside the building, whole different story. Apparently we need more fans, it's too hot in here. Could we find a way to cool this whole thing now that and this whole thing down? But outside the potted plant, you know, it used to be very green and lush and perfect. Now it's brown and crumbly. I think if you touch the leaf, you'll start crumbling. But the potted plant doesn't complain. So yes, it is warm. It will be even warmer. But the feeling and the need to, you know, find, you know, the need to cool down is okay, because that's body. The need to find a way to cool down his body. So, you know, staying under a fan, ACs, air conditioning, you know, drinking a lot of water. These are all ways that we can cool ourselves off. However, the need to complain, is that part of nature? The need to complain, is that part of nature? No. The need to cool down is part of nature. That's why, you know, plants will have its way of cooling itself down. So if you don't water a plant, it's going to start wilting because it needs this water to cool itself down, just like humans. You know, plants, nature finds its way to, you know, control or to keep it at its optimum temperature to the best it could, because that's part of nature. That's the part of the sustenance. The way, you know, when we When we get too warm, we start to sweat. Now, I was talking with someone about this, and they were complaining about, you know, being sweaty feels really uncomfortable. You know, what would it be like not to sweat? And I gave the answer, well, you'll be 6 feet under. Why? Because sweat is one of the easiest ways, or one of the best ways, that the body cools itself off. You know, it's so difficult. I'm sweating. I feel very sticky. And, you know, there's so many things we can complain about, but this is a natural way that our body cools itself off. Is it bad? Is it good? It's nature. So when you see someone dripping with sweat, what should we think? They're sweaty. No, we should think, it's nature. That's part of nature. So yes, you know, I think someone said something about, I don't know, what is it? El Nino and whatnot and something, and I don't know. And they said it's going to become warm. So here's a general, not a warning, but a general piece of advice, you know, make sure you drink enough water, as well as make sure you don't stay in the scorching sun for too long. If you are, please do wear a hat or some sort of way to keep yourself shaded. I mean, these are just ways that we can naturally prevent ourselves from harming the body, because that's one of our major responsibilities. Because we only have two things. Although we may think we have many things, we only have two things. Although you may think you have a house and a car and, you know, have people around you, you only have two things. Although you may think you have, you know, in my bag I have lots of things, you only have two things. What are the two things that you have? You only have a body and a mind. Although you may believe that, you know, I live in a house and I've got all these things, you know, the 3-bedroom house, got 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and a massive living room, and you can imagine that I have all these things. You know, I live with a family, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, an uncle, an aunt, my grandparents, my nieces, my nephews, and my grandchildren, and X, Y, and Z. You can believe that, but all you have is two things, a body and a mind. You know, I have a laptop, I have a phone, I have a tab, I have all these electronic devices to keep me entertained. But all you have is two things, a body and a mind. And that body and a mind are the two responsibilities that you have towards yourself to keep them in the best condition possible. So you have responsibility towards your body. Yeah, that's why Guru Andhra will say about, you know, eating healthily, not to overeat. As well as you have to take care of this body. I mean, the body is very fragile. Extremely fragile. It will find many ways to get hurt. You know, all it needs is a bundle of protein to go in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we call it what? We say what? The body's now what? Sick. Because what is a virus or a bacteria? A bundle of protein. All it needs to do is go into the body in the wrong time, wrong place. And then we say what? Oh, I'm now sick. Just a very small amount of protein. The wrong protein at the wrong time, the wrong place will make us sick. I mean, sometimes it's very strange to see how a massive human could be affected by such a small thing. For example, I remember, and I know lots of people who have allergies. Some have extreme allergies to something like as small as nuts. For example, I remember a long, long time ago that there used to be, there was in the news, a person who had opened a packet of nuts in an airplane. And a person at the very back had an allergic reaction. Just because a small bit had traveled through the air. A massive person affected by a small, small thing. Because your body is very fragile. Now, you can fall down, you get cut, you can break a bone, and you know, there's so many different sicknesses. But more importantly, there are many things that you can't control. That's why the body is very fragile. That's why it's your responsibility to keep that. Because what would happen if you don't fulfill your responsibility? If you don't fulfill your responsibility, what happens? The body will break, and the mind will no longer be able to arise. And then what? Well, that's a full stop. Because will your mind go somewhere else? Will your mind travel somewhere else? Can it travel somewhere else? Although we may feel as though, you know, my mind will, once the mind can no longer arise here, it will travel to somewhere else and arise there. Well, it doesn't happen like that. Once the body is gone and the mind cannot arise, full stop. That's a full stop there. Okay, yes, the conditions will arise somewhere else and the mind will arise somewhere else. I agree. But for this one, for this mind and this body, that's a full stop. That's why you have to be very careful. One of your major responsibilities is your body. The other one is the mind. And that's why we all come here every Saturday to sit down and listen. Because we are all trying to do what? We're trying to fulfill the responsibility of the mind. To get rid of what? To get rid of this virus. Although the virus that affects the body is it's a bunch of protein. You know, the virus that affects the mind is just a few. Do you see how small things can make massive differences? You know, a small bit of as a bundle of protein can kill a person, and a bundle of protein can make someone go through samsara indefinitely. A small view, a small protein. That's why, you know, it is our responsibility to keep our body and mind as safe as we possibly can. So that's why, you know, while you're out and about in the scorching sun, make sure you keep yourself protected. Make sure you do what is needed. At that moment. So in the sun, drink a lot of water. You know, don't go, you know, stay in the shade if it's too sunny. These are very small things that you can do to protect that body. So that's a piece of advice I wanted to give all of you, especially during this period of time. You know. But hopefully the rains will cool it down because, you know, we're coming towards the New Year's, Sri Lankan New Year, of course, which does mean that we'll have lots of storms. However, we only had one storm yesterday. One storm with rain, of course. But, you know, with the responsibility of the mind, what is the greatest thing, or what is the best thing that we can do to fulfill the responsibility of the mind? What is the best thing you can do to fulfill the responsibility of the mind? I mean, yes, it is to get rid of ignorance. I mean, that's it in a very broad sense. But ignorance cannot be removed like this, unfortunately. Ignorance isn't something that could be removed instantly. Instead, ignorance is something that is also what? Cause and effect. Now, something that our teachers always say is that, you know, we've frequented ourselves with the monastery and the Dhamma and whatnot, we all have an understanding of the truths. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. And especially as our Sila Shravikas, Shravikas, as you know, as Anagarika, Anagarikas, as our Sila Vesis and whatnot, you know, we all have this opportunity to listen and to even, you know, join into these discussions so we can almost fill in any gaps in our knowledge. But the problem is, even though we have an understanding, even though some of you may have listened to as many sermons as there are hair on your head, not on mine, still, we find it very difficult to get rid of this virus. Why is that? Although you understand the truths of anicca, dukkha, anatta, why have we not achieved? Why is ignorance still there? And the answer is very simple. Because, you know, understanding the truths, the actual understanding of it isn't an issue. Because all you have to do is listen. Once you listen and if you have the ability to put them all together, to think, to analyze, well, then you already have an understanding. Very easy. However, what is difficult is what? Putting that understanding into what? Practice. In other words, what's very difficult is being aware. Being aware. That is what's difficult. Because once you're aware, what happens? Once you become aware, now you're able to put whatever you've understood into practice. Now the question is, how can I be aware? I was talking with some of our monks and my teacher as well about, you know, this, you know, being aware. What is needed to be done to be aware? And one thing that I found out is there are two things. Two very basic things that need to be done, or that you need to do to create this base of awareness. Just two things. And once these two things are done, you create the environment to be aware. So in other words, without doing these two things, awareness, the causes for awareness is what? Isn't there. Or isn't there the causes aren't there, therefore awareness cannot arise. Because, you know, if you really think about it, something that we can all think about is, you know, some days you contemplate and you almost feel that it's satisfactory. I'm satisfied today. Today I was able to contemplate this much. I'm satisfied. Or other days you think, today I wasn't able to contemplate as much. I'm not satisfied. That feeling of satisfied and unsatisfied, that is what? That is actually ignorance. if you feel satisfied with the amount of contemplation or the amount of awareness you've had, that is what? That is actually part of ignorance. Because how can you be satisfied? The only way you can be satisfied is if you, number one, compare. I did this much contemplation yesterday. Today I did this much contemplation, more contemplation. Therefore, I feel satisfied. Or else you can say, you know, yesterday I did this much. Today I only did small amount. Therefore, I am unsatisfied. Who did contemplation? I did contemplation. However, when you contemplate, the feeling of I is what? Or the idea or the concept of I is what? A fallacy. So who did contemplation? You can't say that. You know, like like in Sinhalese you say, you know, catch ga allan. Now, trust me, when I got to hear it, I got very confused. Why? Because you hear the word catch, so okay, allan, okay. It's like saying catch. Why would you say it twice? It is the same thing. Same thing here. I mean, if you feel that I am contemplating, it's almost like saying two polar opposite things. I am contemplating. That can't be. That's like saying two completely opposite things. So if you believe that I contemplated X amount, or I contemplated to a satisfactory level, you are comparing to the amount that you contemplated. So the question is, can you be satisfied with contemplation? The amount that you contemplate. Should you be satisfied? Can you be satisfied? See, no matter what answer you give to this question, unless you're giving it with the truth in mind, it is wrong. Why? Should I be, should I be satisfied? Well, that's a no. So should I not be satisfied? That's also what? Oh no, because who didn't contemplate enough? I didn't contemplate enough. I wasn't able to contemplate enough. But if you feel satisfied with the amount, still you feel what? I. See, contemplation is something that happens. Contemplation is something that happens. But we know one thing. We know where our goal is. We know where our goal is. We know that to become an arahat nuhanse or arahat mehin nuhanse, or to come to this mindset or to get rid of ignorance, contemplation should happen to the maximum. By comparing or by seeing the difference, you can realize something, what? That contemplation is not enough to get to this state yet. So you are arbitrarily collecting the amount of contemplation you did and you're comparing. But you can realize that, you know, this is the end goal. How much contemplation is happening at this moment for me to get there? So, should you feel satisfied or should you not feel satisfied? You shouldn't feel a thing. you shouldn't feel satisfied or unsatisfied. You should realize what? Contemplation happens according to the causes. On the base or on the foundation of awareness, contemplation happens. However, there are periods of time when contemplation does not happen. That's because the causes aren't there. But to get to our goal, contemplation should happen at every moment. So, that's the thing, you know. If you ever feel satisfied, or if you ever feel... Now, this is why your teachers will always tell you, one thing that you should always be scared of is what? One thing that you should always be scared of is what? Praise. One thing that you should always be scared of is what? Praise. Why? Praise creates this foundation of what? I'm okay. It's okay. So for example, let's say you do something. Let's say you do something really good and someone comes and praises you. What do you feel? What do you feel? Okay, I've done something and they're giving me what? A positive comment about it. That means what I'm doing is what? Correct. I'm okay. And you create this almost this comfort zone around it, that this is who I, you know, this is what I have to do. And that's why, you know, with young children, if you want them to do something, what do? You praise them. You know, say for example, you want them to say clean a place. I mean, these are techniques that you've all used, right? You know, if you want a person to clean a place, what you do is you go and you tell them, you know, have you seen this? Look how clean it looks. You know, it looks wonderful. And you start praising an area that is clean. So the child thinks what? If I want more praise, what should I do? Clean more. Because, you know, we all feel very comfortable with praise because that's something that feeds what? Feeds this idea of I'm good, I'm okay, I'm happy here. You know, this is what I enjoy. Like I say, good is the obstacle to what? Good is always the obstacle of great. So if you feel that your contemplation is satisfactory, that's something that puts you into this comfort zone, saying that, you know, I'm okay. For example, you know, there are many people who may believe that, you know, coming to the monastery means what? I'm okay. If I come to the monastery, I'm okay. You know, job is done. Everything will happen after that. Then they believe what? No, not just coming. I have to become an anagarika or anagarika. No, before that, becoming a sila huasi, then job is done. You know, if I become a Siddhu Huasi, you know, someday, you know, Nibbana will be there and, you know, they'll take me to Nibbana. So, job is done, full stop, you know, I'm finished. Some people think, you know, becoming a Siddhu Shravika, Anagarika, my job is done. If I become an Anagarika, that's it, full stop. Nibbana will happen, you know, somehow, you know, my teachers will, you know, drag me to that and put me there and I'll be okay. Because we're very happy to be in this idea that I'm okay. You know, everything is happening the way it's supposed to happen. I'm okay. Full stop. This is the concept of okay. This is okay. This is satisfactory. This is what will happen. But praise is what brings you to that. So if you ever think that, you know, my contemplation is satisfactory, that is what? Ignorance thinking what? It's all okay. That's why, you know, That's why you always have to have the idea of the end goal. You always have to have the idea of the end goal. What is the end goal? And what is happening now? Now and end goal. It's always thinking about end goal and thinking about now. And see how you can decrease that gap. So like I said, there are two main factors that can affect what is awareness. So if you were to ask yourself, to attain nirvana, what are the main things that you need? Dhamma, of course, yes. But most of you live and breathe in the monastery, so Dhamma is like in abundance. Like you turn left, you turn right, there's Dhamma somewhere there. But that's not only it. That's not it. There's some more. There's something else. There's more to this. If I ask you the other way, what stops you from attaining nirvana? Number one is what? What is one of the main factors that can stop a person from attaining nirvana? Number one. Yes, ignorance. And that ignorance had created what? Aryabhavada. Aryabhavada is the one. There's one of the biggest things that stops a mind from progressing to attain nirvana. What's number two? Number two is what? And they, you know, something that you know your teachers will commonly say is what? Try to keep a what? A prasada hita. Try to keep what? This happy mindset. It's not, the word's not happy. It's not being happy. It's this, the feeling of the mind bubbling with glee. In other words, if you have an aprasad, or if you have this mindset or the opposite mindset, that slows you from attaining nibbana. Slows/stops. Because with a prasada mind, a mind with prasada, are you able to put the Dhamma inside and practice? In other words, progress on the path. Now, we're now putting lots of concepts together here. To be able to have a prasada hita, right? To have this prasada mindset, what do you need to give? If you want to receive something, if you want to receive this prasada mindset, what do you have to give? A prasada mindset. Another way of saying giving a prasada mindset is what? In Pali you say anumodana. What anumodana? Punya anumodana. Merit transfer. Because you are giving the environment for other minds to rejoice in the merits that has been done. So, what are the two factors? What are the two factors that if you are done, you can create this environment for awareness? Number one, asking for forgiveness. So if I say the noble ones, that is wrong. Not noble ones, but the way my teacher said it was nobility. The quality of being Arya. The quality of what? Being noble. So not a person. Because this is one of the things that hinder the path. So if I asked you right now, why aren't you an arhat nuanse or arhat bhin nuanse? It's because of what? Someday in the past, what? I must have done something to an Aryan. Therefore, you know, that's happened. That is one of the things that blocks Aryapada. So, asking for forgiveness for any thoughts, words of actions or offense, desecration, slander they've done to, you know, the Samma, Sambuddha, Pacheka Buddhas, Arhat Buddhas, you know, anyone who's on the path. That is number one. So every time, find a time to actually, you know, ask for forgiveness. And what's even better is you're surrounded by who now? Living and breathing in the monastery, who are you surrounded by? Nobility. Aryan. Noble association. You turn left, you turn right, you look in front of you, you look behind you. You're surrounded by what? Such great noble associations. Therefore, everything that you say and do, either knowingly or unknowingly, you know, ask for forgiveness. That's why, you know, this is why the Buddha Sasana is both a very good thing but a very dangerous thing as well. It's good because, you know, we all get together and we help one another. It's very dangerous because what? We all get together and you're surrounded by great people. Therefore, a thought, a word, or an action can hurt. You may not think of doing it, but it may happen. So ask for forgiveness. Number one. Number two, merit transfer. That's not just saying to transfer to the devas and brahmas and spirits and demons and your past relatives and ancestors. No, but with the people around you as well. So doing the merit transfer to, you know, to the people, the unseen is one. But doing to the seen, it's another. Because merit transfer doesn't mean, see, merit transfer isn't about my merits. You know, today I did this, I did that, and therefore, you know, rejoice in all that because, you know, this is all the things that I've done. That's not what a merit transfer is. What is a merit transfer? A merit transfer is when you do what? What do you do? What do you do? When you don't do anything here, where the idea of what merit has been done is shared with another mind. So does it have to be something that you did? That's the mistake that many people think. That only if I do a merit can I rejoice and can other people rejoice. So, you know, I didn't do much today. What I did was I was asked to stack some chairs. Just 5 chairs I stacked. I didn't do many merits today. So who would rejoice with me? If you think about only about what you did, you are taking the merits that have happened and, you know, taking almost like a drop of it. Merit transfer, or the rejoicing in merits, is the rejoicing in what? Merits. Of whose? Not whose, of merits. That's why Guru Handru and all of our teachers will always find time to show you of all the merits that's happened. Why? So you can rejoice. So you can rejoice. It doesn't have to be what? You may not. So for example, you get to hear that... let's take a good example. All of the monks' robes are made in the Anagaikara. That's unfair, ne? I don't get to help. I don't get to sew or cut. Neither do any of you. It's very unfair. It's very selfish of them, ne? They should have a place where anyone can go and make. No. They make the robes. What do? We rejoice. They do the hard work. And we look at them, we see the benefit. And we rejoice. Like for example, especially for all of you, you know, when you went, every single day, something in one shift has changed. Right? And every single day, you go somewhere and you come back and you see something in one shift has changed. You may not have done anything. But you have. What can you do? Rejoice. And for example, let's say you get to see one day in the new Dhamma Hall, they put a new column. You know, the people who are working there have all through the night have put up a column. What can you do? Walk past the column and say, wow. Sadhu, sadhu. And what do you get? The same thing. You get the prasad, the mindset. You get this pious mindset. And you didn't even need to lift up a finger. And not only that, you can even do better. You can go to another person, right? Another mind, and say, I got to see, something that has happened. So something that our monastery does, and something that we do with our monks as well, is every now and then, we go and tell them, I got to see this. Or for example, something that's very common is whenever a monk receives a new robe, it's something that he'll always go and say, today I got a new robe. Like, he goes to his teacher and there's things that he has to do to it, but he will go and tell other monks as well, I got a new robe. Thanks to what? Thanks to the hard work. Of who? Of everyone. See, now that mindset is given as well. You give this prasad mindset. You give this pious mindset. Therefore, when you give, you get. Now you're creating the environment. You see, if you ever think that, I have to contemplate, I have to practice the path, I have to do this, I have to do that, well, I will have to do a lot of things. But I isn't part of the equation. See, this is when you have to remove this concept of I out of this. Because the stronger you think that I am doing this, because, the observer is just the observer. Sorry, the observer is just a feeling that everything is happening. To who? Me. That's just a feeling that the mind with ignorance has. That's the feeling that's the feeling of jati. Remove it. If you want to contemplate, or if contemplating needs to happen, look at the factors. Look at the causes. Then you look at the ways that you can put together the causes. If you want to receive a prasada mindset, you should what? Give a prasada mindset. You should give this pious mindset. You should give, you should rejoice with others. Think about it. If you really think about it, what is Guru? Why do you think Guru Andhru? Every sermon, and not just Guru Andhru, Amas Naik Andhru, and all these, your teachers. Why do you think they'll take a moment to talk about all the merits that have happened? When they give, they receive. I was talking with someone the other day, and something that they wanted to tell me is how creative Guru Andhru is. The way he can take a small merit and make it feel so big. Something that you may think, just a small thing. It's just very small. But he can make it feel like a really big thing. Because it's not that he's trying to like make it feel big to everyone. No, that's how he feels. That's how he feels. Therefore, his prasada mindset is always there. So that's the thing, right? The two things that are mostly, that must be there, is asking for forgiveness and merit transfer. Or the rejoicing of merits. Not the merit transfer, the rejoicing of merits. Without these two factors, the foundation of awareness is not there. Without the foundation of awareness, this massive skyscraper of contemplation and this skyscraper of this massive skyscraper of your journey will not be there. So if you want to be more aware, these are two things you can do. Two very basic things. Something that you can do daily. If not, you can do it. The more you do it, the more you shall receive. Because you will always reap what you sow. The more you do it, the more you receive. See, find ways to put these all into your lives. Find ways to inculcate all these into your own lives. Because something that might happen, and not just might, it will happen, is sometimes you do things just because. You do things just because, i.e. it's conformity. Everyone else does it, therefore I'm going to do it. Why? So I fit in. So I feel as though I'm part of this. I'm in this group. You do it out of conformity. And I'll explain one thing. So, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, After everyone serves their alms on normal days, not on Dakinya days, but on normal days, after everyone serves their alms, the monks, anagarikas, anagarikas, and I also believe Sita Shravikas and Shravakas will go in front of the Buddha statue and place their plate. Yes? No? Yes? Yes? Okay. Place their plate and worship the Buddha and get the plate and sit back down. Here's my question. Why do you do it? What do you think when you do it? What do you think about when you do it? When you put your alms bowl in front of the Buddha and you worship the Buddha, what are you thinking? Because sometimes what can happen is it's just something that is there, it's just a display. It's just part of our normal routine. So every time we go in line, we put in front of the statue, we worship, we sit back down, and we wait for what? The pratyeksha, so we can finally start eating. What do you think about when you offer that? When you offer your alms bowl, or you know, offer, you place your alms bowl in front of the Buddha statue. See, if you already think about something, great. But here's a way to put in these two factors into that moment. See, when you go in front of the Buddha and you offer this, you place your alms bowl. That is a very good time to think about or to ask for forgiveness as well. You offer it to the statue, you place in front of the statue, and you can think that, you know, throughout my day, you know, I've tried to, contemplation has happened here and there. But there will be points of time where I wasn't able to contemplate. Contemplation wasn't able to happen. And therefore, I may have what? Hurt physically, mentally, someone around me. So I would like to seek for forgiveness for any thoughts, words, or actions that I've done. Now, you don't have a lot of time. While, you know, to worship, you don't have a lot of time. However, this is something you can think about before. As you're walking towards the statue, that's something you can think about. You put it in front of the Buddha, then you can think about this and worship. Seeking for forgiveness. Now that is something now that's something that you've now put inside your timetable. So it's something that that you can do every single day. As well as before you go to bed. Ask for forgiveness. Transfer the merits. Whenever you meet someone, see if you can create a prasada mindset. Or try your very best not to break a mindset. You know, these are small things that has to come together for what? Contemplation to happen. Because by creating this environment, being aware will happen. Being aware will happen, therefore contemplation will happen. And by contemplation happening, ignorance will start to go. And you will become what? An ignorantless mind. See, always try to find ways to put these small things into your lives. Understand how you have to place all these. Understand how you can use the teachings that you receive and put them into your life. Something that your teachers will always say is that, you know, there is enough dhamma. Something that Guru Hamdra always says is, right now there's enough dhamma for you all to become arahants and more. Because he's already preached what? Anicca dukkha anatta. But, you know, thanks to his amazing compassion, as well as his wisdom, every single week he finds a way to what? Say the same thing in a different way. He takes the same thing and shows it in a different light. He takes anicca dukkha anatta and shows it in different ways. So if you don't understand something, may that teaching help you understand. But that's not the only thing that needs to be done. You have a responsibility as well to put into practice. So something that we've talked about is you know, finding time or finding a place to put these teachings to practice. And what are those? Those are these triggers. We talked about these triggers before. Finding ways to trigger this awareness. Finding ways or landmarks almost. Landmarks or things that can trigger your contemplation. That is one thing. Planning for these triggers. However, every time you plan for something, do you always follow your plan? You know how sometimes you have your off days? So for example, let's say you make a trigger. So you should say, every time before you pratyeksha, you know, you put in the trigger that I will be contemplating about food. That's what you plan to do. But then what do you have? You have your off days and you think, today I don't want to do it today. You have your off days, so because you know you don't have the motivation to keep going. You start it. I mean, it's very common amongst everyone. We're very good at starting things. You know, extremely good at starting things. Not just yourself, myself as well. We're very good at starting things. But that's it. Start and that's it. Start. Something I find myself doing is I start. And then tomorrow what? I start. Next day I also start. Whenever I ever carried on doing something, it'll be very rare. Because, you know, we don't have that motivation. We don't have that drive. We don't have that self-discipline. We're very good at starting things. I know. You know, sometimes you get together in a group and you plan massively. How many of those plans do you actually execute and get to the end outcome? Very little. Because we're very good at planning. So, you know, once you have a plan, the actual execution requires your actual effort. It requires your effort. So for example, just because you plan for these triggers doesn't mean these triggers will help. Right? Just because you plan, then you say, you know, these are things I'm going to trigger and use as a trigger to help me contemplate, doesn't mean that it's going to happen like this. No, you have to put in what? Artificial effort. You're going against the norm. No matter how hard you try, going upstream is what? Incredibly difficult. I remember a couple of weeks back when I went to Dambulla, we have a small canal, right? Small canal, kind of small. It's a bit wider than small. I won't say it's small. It's a medium-sized canal. But when it rains, the water is pretty strong. And I remember not when it's very strong, but when it was semi-strong. I remember some of our 18 minuses had gone to take a shower or to take a bath in this alley. And they gave themselves a challenge. Literally, I think it was just a small portion, just as maybe as long as this room is. To see if you can go against the current from this, if the canal is flowing from left to right, your right to your left, my left to my right, right? They challenge themselves to go from against the current to see how far they can go and how long. So we had several people who are very good at swimming as well. And I was on the bank and I was looking at it. It's a very interesting scenario. So they are trying to go against this current. So some of them are splashing, they're trying to swim and swim. They get halfway and they're swimming at the maximum speed they possibly can. But no matter how hard, no matter how fast they try to swim, it's almost as though they're in the same position. Stuck. Until when? Until they lose their energy and they've lost their energy and they what? Flow back to where they started. So, you know, doing something like this is going upstream. You try, the moment you lose that energy that you have, you go straight back to what? Square one. Sometimes, so the way that they stop themselves is there's like this rocky area. If you pass that rocky area, you go on further. I mean, it's a canal, right? So sometimes you don't go back to square one. Where do you go? Much further back. That's the thing, you know, we have to not only do we have to plan, but we have to have the self-discipline to keep going. So once you've planned for these triggers, you must have the discipline to keep going. But the thing is, once you do it for about a month, now what? It becomes habit. It becomes almost automatic. Now, the moment you sit down to do pratyaksha, you're automatically aware. Because there's no you here. You don't need to be aware. Awareness will happen. All you have to do is create the environment. All that needs to occur is that you have to create the environment. Everything else will happen. Everything else will happen. The environment has to be created though. The environment must be created and everything else will, you know, it's almost the, no, it's not almost the, it's, it is the moment you create a necessity. The moment you create a void, everything will start filling this void. That's how everything is made. As well as that's how contemplation also happens. It's filling of a void. So all we have to do is create that environment, create this environment. The moment the environment is there, the effect will manifest. But that creation of in that environment is what's difficult. Another thing, if you ever feel that, you know, I can't contemplate, you know, I'm not always aware. Yes, perfect. You're not aware. Because you can't be aware. What needs to be there? The environment. And that's why Guru Ramdev consistently say, you know, how, you know, if it's this difficult for us to be aware, if it's this difficult for us to be aware and contemplate, if anyone is to believe that it's going to be very easy to do at home, I don't know. How do they think that it's going to be even easier when you're surrounded by distractions and you're not surrounded by this noble environment? That's why the ball is in your court. The ball is always in your court. You have to create that environment. Once that environment is created, contemplation will happen. So, something else that I want to bring your attention to, and this is something that I want to carry on for something that we talked about last time. So last time we talked about this idea of imagination, how everything is part of our imagination. Now, when we talk about imagination, or more importantly, when we talk about this idea of jati, well, let me ask you another question. Can we all see a pen here? Can we all see a pen here? Is seeing a pen wrong? Is seeing a pen wrong? No, seeing a pen isn't wrong. What is wrong though? Is seeing a pen wrong? Then what is wrong? So is there not a pen here? Is there a pen or is there not a pen? So because this is the thing, this is something that's very subtle, and I want to see if I can explain this so you understand this, right? Pen isn't the issue, or the idea, the concept of a pen isn't the issue, because that's actually what? Vijnana, the perception. Because I mean, a lot of people say, well, there is a pen, but there is not a pen. There is no pen. Well, no, because they'll say that, well, there is no pen because what there actually is what? Color, shape, and whatnot. However, the perception of a pen isn't wrong. Perception isn't wrong. You perceiving this pen, or the perceiving of a pen isn't wrong. What is wrong? There are two things that can be wrong. Number one is what? Perceiving a pen, right? Perceiving a pen, and what's wrong is, perceiving a pen is not wrong, but seeing a pen, seeing a fixed object, or seeing an object, a thing, and the observer. Because although you perceive, although the perception of a pen is happening, you also feel what? That there is an observer here. There is an observer here observing this pen. There are the two things these are the two ideas that are wrong. What? That there is a fixed object here. There is an object, a pen, a fixed pen, an entity here. Second thing is what? There's an observer. There's an observer. Who's the observer? Observer. Call it me, I, mama, who, whatever you wanted to call. Call it whatever you want, but there's an observer observing this. Who is so-called, who is perceiving, who is feeling this? So, perceiving of the pen isn't wrong. So, for example, your perceiver person or perceiver stick figurehead, right? That isn't wrong. What is wrong, though, is if your mind, with ignorance, feels what? There is a fixed entity or a fixed object on the board. So let's name this person A. Can you all perceive person A? Or is Jati perceiving this to be A? Is Jati perceiving this person to be A? So for example, let's say, let's say I bring a person here, right? Let's say I bring a random person. Let's say we bring a person, right? The person's name is Bob. Person name is Bob. When you see the person, if you see Bob, is that wrong? When you see the person, if you see Bob, or if you perceive it to be Bob, is that wrong? Perceiving a person, or perceiving, say, the person with a name, isn't wrong. Because if that is wrong, then how are you supposed to live in this world? If you can't perceive people, see, perceive people, then what is wrong? Is if you believe, if your mind feels what? If ignorance and attachment is there, the mind feels what? Jati says what? There is a fixed person. There is a person. Not a manifestation. There is a person named Bob here. And also, with that, also you believe what? That I am seeing this. Now, this is a very simple thing. Let's say you do feel an entity here. Let's say you do feel an entity that you believe, or you feel, because of ignorance and attachment, you feel that, hey, there's a person here called Bob, and that's a fixed person. What should you do? Very simple. All you have to do, because there's nothing that you have to do. There's nothing that you can do. If you see a fixed person, all you have to do is what? Understand what? That? Feeling fixed is what? Jati. That comes from ignorance and attachment. That's it. Because the moment you see that this jati is made from ignorance and attachment, what happens is what? What is avidya? What is ignorance? The not seeing of what? The not seeing of what? The not understanding that there is what? It's a manifestation. But once you realize this is jati, and you realize this is a manifestation, what happens to ignorance? Ignorance cannot be there. Because all we have to do is to be aware. All we have to do is to see, not to change what we perceive. That's the thing. It's not that we have to change what we perceive. There's nothing that we have to change. accept putting or accept understanding that this is not fixed. That what is perceived is what? Anicca. So it's like this, right? So this is a question that someone had asked, and I wanted to answer this question as well. Let's say, he asked a question because in one of the sermons, someone in the very back, in one of the sermons that they had done for our Anagarikas and Agarikas and our monks, at the very back, a bottle falls. And when he hears the bottle falling, what does he do? He turns around to see what it was. And then he comes and asks me, Abhyandru, if I hear a sound, should I look at it or should I not look? The answer is this. Looking or not looking is not the problem. Looking or not, whether you do something or not do something is not the problem. It's not about what you perceive. It's about what? What is about the ignorance and attachment that makes you feel what? Jati, that's the problem. So for example, let's say you turned over. Ask yourself, why did you turn around? Why did you turn around? Was it because you're scared? If so, then that's ignorance and attachment. Is it because you had this need to what? To see, or you wanted to know and to find out? Then again, that's ignorance and attachment. But it's not the turning and not, whether you turned around or not turned around. That's not how you judge it. The only way you can judge it is by asking yourself, why? Why did I turn around? If I turned around because, because of fear, then what? We know what? Jati is at play here. Because I have to protect who? Me. I have to protect me. Therefore, I have to make sure nothing comes to me. If you feel that, what should you do? Show yourself. It's a very subtle thing. Show yourself there is no observer. Show yourself there is no observer here. It's a very subtle difference. Observer or not observing. That's why you cannot tell how much ignorance another person has. Because the difference is not about what they do, not about how they act. It's about the simple, whether they feel jati or not. Whether they understand it's jati or not. A very simple switch. Very simple switch. Very subtle switch. Whether they feel jati or not. Or whether they understand it's jati or not. So the thing is, what we have to do is we have to understand and put this understanding into every situation that we face or every situation that is faced at every moment. See, every time you feel the sense of jati, the sense of self. Every time you feel the sense of self, every time you feel jati, all you have to do is show yourself the truth. You don't need to get rid of jati. Because you can't. Because once jati has arisen, you can't do anything to that mind. Because that mind arises and then what? Passes. That's the thing. You know how sometimes you get upset that you get upset about something that you thought of. Let's say, for example, uh, Let's say you had a sudden thought of, you know, this person's very annoying. You know, I want to slap that person. I had such a thought. I can't have such a thought. Because why? I am someone who practices the path and whatnot. No. The thought arose, thought passes. All you have to do is what? See it with the lens of the Dhamma. See it as anicca dukkha anatta. Because the observer isn't there. You aren't someone who thought. So thinking had happened. So why should you be upset? Exactly. You can only be upset if what? Jati's at play. Only if jati's at play can you be upset. Can you think that, I can't think like that, that's such a wrong thing. And you go to your teacher and you say, oh, teacher, you know, I'm such a horrible person. You know, just yesterday I thought about, I had this sort of thought. No, that thought happened. Okay, full stop. It arose, it passed away, full stop. All you can do is understand that that thought arose thanks to what? Jati. The moment you understand it's jati, ignorance can no longer, you are removing the stage for ignorance. That's why if you can be aware, if you can be aware, and if you can practice this all of the time, that's why the Buddha guarantees within 7 days, at the end of 7 days, anagami and arhat. Because you're not giving the environment for what? Jati. That's why this is a 7 day to a, you know, this is if practiced properly. This journey isn't too long. But the problem is, it's a very difficult journey. Because you're fighting against what? You're fighting against how you think at this moment. That's very difficult. That's the thing, you know, if you can be aware for just 7 days, if you don't give the environment for ignorance to arise or for jati to arise, the journey's over. But to be aware all the time, that's difficult. To put it into practice all the time, that's difficult. But the only thing that you can do is practice. So don't waste. Don't procrastinate. You know, you make a plan and the next thing you do is after you make a plan, you procrastinate. When should I start it? Should I start it? How can I start it? You know, I did it yesterday. Should I do it today? We're very good at it. And in Pali, the procrastination is like poison. And in Pali, procrastination is called what? Pramada. Pramada. That's why, you know, in Dhammada, you have an entire vagga called what? Appamada. You know, the thing is, This is a journey that only you can take. Although you may think that, you know, I'm okay, I'm now an anagarika, I'm a siddha shravika, I'm a monk now, and therefore everything is done. Somehow my teachers will bring me to Nibbana, I'm okay now. The thing is, this journey is always is a self-walked journey. Self-walked meaning not self-walked, but in like this sense, you know, not that self, but can only be done by that mind, with this mind here. If not, you know, you know, The only thing another person can do is what? Contribute to that environment. To point out mistakes that you have. To point out mistakes in how you think. Now, just because this journey is, you know, only you can travel, only you can go on this journey, doesn't mean that then that you don't need anyone. No, for noble association is essential. Because noble association is essential because you can't see your own mistakes. For example, I remember back something that we used to do when I was very little is that there used to be these plants, I can't remember the name of the plant, which is very good at sticking onto clothes. Very, very good at sticking onto clothes. And I remember what I used to do when I was in schooling years. Is I'll take this plant and make it into small pieces and see how many pieces of this plant I can put onto another person before they notice. But I don't know about that. That was something that I remember doing. And sometimes I can get like a full 20, 30, 40 pieces of this small plant stuck onto someone's back and they wouldn't notice because you don't realize your mistakes. Like for example, who knows? There could be something. Say for example, someone might have spilled some paripu onto your back, and there's a massive stain on your back. And would you know? No, not until what? Not until someone comes and shows you, or you decide to check. However, you deciding to check is very difficult because why? In your mind, who's the most perfect person? Who's the most perfect person? Who's the best person in this world? Me. Who has the least mistakes in this world? Me. I am perfect. The Buddha is also perfect, but I am second perfect. I don't make mistakes. If I make a mistake, I already have an excuse for that. So you checking for your own mistakes is very difficult. That's why, you tell me, isn't it easier to find, to look at mistakes of other people than the mistakes of yourself? Isn't it very easy, you look around and you see lots of mistakes. Can you see your own mistakes? No. That's why noble association is essential. That's why if you don't receive criticism from the people around you, if people don't show you mistakes, well, then there's a problem there. If someone else doesn't show you mistakes, there's a problem there. Just imagine someone's scared to come and tell you your mistakes. Not because you get angry or whatnot, but they're scared if I tell you your mistake, who knows, that person can be I might ruin the prasada mindset. If someone's scared, then actually that should be a concern. So So if you believe you don't receive enough ways to improve, if you don't receive, what should you do? Give. Help others, and you shall be helped. So this is the thing, This is why this journey is very practical. This journey is always very practical. A journey that you can take alone. But it's a very practical journey. There is no, you know, there is no magic and there's nothing special about this. It's a very practical step-by-step journey that you can take. All you have to do is what? Start. All you have to do is what? Continue. All you have to do is what? Practice. So, you know, make triggers. Make triggers. And follow through. Make triggers and follow through. That's it. You know, take all these things, these advices that this sorry, take the advice that your teachers give you and put into practice. So we talked about two things, the two key factors for awareness. For, you know, asking forgiveness from nobility or Aryans, the Arya quality, and also the rejoicing in merits to keep the prasadhita, prasada mindset. So try to put that into practice. See if you can, you know, if you can improve on your awareness by doing these two things. And again, the more you practice, the more you sow, the more you shall reap. Okay. Do we have any messages before we conclude? No. We do have the New Year's coming up, right? The Sri Lanka, the Sinhala and Tamil New Year is coming up. And I think you'll get some announcements today in the Sinhala sermon about that. As well as tomorrow, we have the. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, right? Yes, it should be tomorrow. Tomorrow we have the opening of the Buddhaput Mahavir Sevana. I think that's also a very beautiful concept, I think. Because a lot of people think that, you know, as a monk, you know, well, you know, a lot of people at least say that, well, you know, you don't take care of your mother and father, you know, you're now practicing the path. What are they going to do about them? So what is the monastery done? We've created a place for what? The mothers and fathers. All mothers and fathers are all welcome to come and stay and practice their path. That's why, you know, the monastery is an absolute is a haven for all those who are aspirants of Nibbana. Exclusively for aspirants of Nibbana. Because we don't do anything else, do we? All we have is what? Merits and sermons. That's all. If you ever expect something more, well then you'll be disappointed. Because we only have two things. Merit and number. So it's a very beautiful concept that, you know, mothers and fathers of monks and agarikas and, you know, anyone basically could come and stay at, or come and live in this mid seven, or not mid seven, this Buddhaput Mahapiya. This Buddhaput Mahapiya Sevana and, you know, come to the monastery. So we have the opening tomorrow, so everyone is of course welcome to rejoice in that merit as well. Let's take a few moments to transfer merits and conclude today's sermon. Let's take a moment to transfer all the merits we acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Lord Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of Buddha and passed it down through the generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also transfer the merits that we acquired to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all chieftains of all chapters who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and committed themselves to the betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns resident in local temples and nunneries who have always been by your side to thick and thin, come and shine. So I'll take my own transfer merits to Guru Sanat Nansi, as well as other monks resident in the monastery, as well as Anagarikas attached to the monastery. It's also taken on transfer merits to an express of gratitude to those who made great efforts to spread the teaching of the Buddha, be there by translating sermons, sharing them out with others, inviting others to join them. May the path merits, if any have been born in the world of planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the bliss of plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There's also taken on transfer merits that we acquire to our devotees, friends of the monastery, who for sake of merits continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes everyone of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, roads, medicines, as well as those who pass the no hugs, no well wishes. May the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There's also taking on transfer merits to our mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, and nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employees, employees, and to all those who have helped us, supported us, assisted us in shape or form. By the power of the merits, may they be healed in physical and mental ailments, may they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress, may they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There's also taking on transfer merits to devas, brahmins, spirits, demons, primarily the Sakadevas, numerous gods and deities who are committed to protect and fulfill the sasana. There's also taking on transfer merits to our garden deities who keep a watchful eye of us and keep out of harm's way. May the power of the merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom, may they abstain from meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deed, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss in Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There's also taking on transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all that have been friends to us in this even long journey in samsara, who have helped us in any way they could. Let's take one transfer message to them. Let's also take one transfer message to all the members of the armed forces, as well as the police force, who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all this lost life in the world with a friend or foe rejoice in the merits acquired today. It's also taking one transfer message to all the lost in life, natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, and pandemics. Reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this infinitely long journey in samsara. May the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the world of planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the bliss of plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and the blessing of all the merits acquired throughout the day, we be and witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arhat Mahin Nuances in this blessed land. And finally, may the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, may you and I and everyone who made this program a success become an Arhat Nuhansi or an Arhat Mahin Nuhansi in this very life in the era of the Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Chupacham be with you all. The members of the Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings to you. Raga ginnen mitetva Dvesha ginnen mitetva Moha ginnen mitetva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravetva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravitnva Mamada siyalu loka Siyalu satnvayo Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravitnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravitnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravitnva Raga ghini niveda
Veshagini Niveva, Mohagini Niveva, Nivansapa Labeva, Nivansapa Labeva, Nivansapa Labeva.
Tunnolgi, Suisanthi Mahabhuli Bhilin, Sir Lok Sir Satyum, Nibhavan Pramasakin, Sukhtaragattu.